Well, it was right about the year 2000 when I lived in upstate New York by Albany. And I was in a parish, and I'd been going there for a few years, and I grabbed the bulletin, and I checked it out, and inside the bulletin was a notice. Could it be me? Come to this Saturday retreat about vocations to the priesthood. You know, come and check it out. And I probably had looked at something like that in bulletins years past and didn't strike me, didn't resonate. But this time when I read that, just felt like, well, maybe I should. You know, maybe I should go check that out, go and see. Could it be me? And so I went, but I went top secret. Nobody knew, not a single soul except the secretary who like took my RSVP. That was it. Nobody knew about this, and I was going to keep it that way, right? And so I went to it on Saturday, and it was actually a pretty good experience, you know, to see these other guys, and there was the bishop or the vocation director, and just to kind of pray and hear about it, to just start to investigate. And at the end of it, I said, well, okay, you know, it's something for me to think about, you know, and to pray about. 2 days later, I was on the phone with my parents and talking with my dad, and he didn't know what I'd been up to, and he was Lutheran at the time and thinking about becoming Catholic, and remember, I was talking to him about the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church, and he was like, wow, Matt, you just seem so enthusiastic about this. Have you ever thought about being a priest? And it's like, wow, just to have gone on this top secret retreat and then out of nowhere my Lutheran dad is asking me about being a priest. It was such a powerful Holy Spirit moment, the convergence of those two, and to hear that from my father especially is a very powerful thing. You know, have you thought about being a priest? The Holy Spirit helped with other signs and as well as just guiding me and entering more deeply into the life of the church and steady prayer and genuine investigation until then, yes, I was ready. I think I was ready for that next step to go to seminary, to continue this journey, and as well as the church then to discern from the church's side that, you know, is there a calling here? And here I am. Our readings today, the first and the second, I think speak about urgency, about understanding just the relative and passing value of things in this life. And then it comes to our gospel, this great calling. And that calling, of course, you know, can resonate and does in all of our lives. But today I wanted to focus on this. Come after me and I'll make you fishers of men. And really that the reality, the vocations to the priesthood, to the ministerial priesthood. And I think it's so important to really meditate on these callings that we hear Jesus make to people in the Gospels, and how does that resonate with me? And so I want to unpack a little bit. Last Sunday, we had the Gospel of John, where they kind of first encounter Jesus, and today kind of continues in the Gospel of Matthew, you know, this unfolding of discovering their vocations. So last week, Andrew had pointed out to him that here's Jesus, you know, the Lamb of God, and he and another go, you know, kind of pursuing him to find out where he dwells and who is this. And Jesus, you know, invites them to come and see and to be with him. There's this beautiful preliminary encounter with Jesus, and Andrew starts to discover who Jesus is and that he indeed is the Messiah. Now, the promised one, the anointed one who would come. And then in the gospel last Sunday, Simon, Andrew's brother, is brought by him to Jesus. And Jesus starts to reveal Simon's deeper identity and what God is calling him to through this new name that he'll be called by, Peter, Cephas, the rock, upon which Jesus will build his church. And so last week there was this deepening of relationship with Jesus, revelation of kind of who I am and who the Lord is helping me to see that I am. And now this Sunday in the gospel, we have this moment where Jesus calls them into active mission. Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. And as likewise, John and James also. And so in this, on one hand, yes, there is a certain renunciation, a loss, choosing one thing and not another. But on the other hand, who they were takes on this now, this deeper fulfillment in their life, being fishers of men, and this great gift of this close following with Jesus that the Lord is inviting them into. These gospel elements from this Sunday and last, I think, are real important ingredients in discerning and responding to a call to the priesthood. Coming to know Jesus Christ in a personal way, understanding who he is and his desire for my being close to him, as well as then, you know, with Andrew, that encouragement of family, of others, to come to know the Lord, and then that self-discovery of, you know, I do have a vocation. What is it? And I want to hear from the Lord about that. And yes, even if on one level maybe there's a bit of fear, what are those renunciations that may ask of me? But embracing those, because I know God wants me to be happy. And so then diligently and being open to hearing what might Jesus be calling me to, and trusting in how that can be fulfilling and a special walk with him. I know I've definitely experienced all of those ingredients in my own discernment to the priesthood. And the beautiful thing, as Father Mark, I'm sure, would also attest, that every guy, every person who's called to the priesthood, you know, has this incredible and individual story, even if it's beautiful how those same elements appear again and again in each of their encounters and calls from the Lord. I have to admit, sometimes I'm still surprised that I'm a priest. You know, I know who I am, and I know how great the priesthood is. And, you know, my friends in the priesthood talk about the gaping disparity, you know, kind of between ourselves and all that the priesthood is. But I've never regretted it. And in fact, I'm deeply thankful and rejoice at my vocation and this incredible calling to the priesthood that Jesus has given me. I remember at my first Mass, and I think maybe other priests feel this as well, you're celebrating Mass and just the shock, you know, of people coming up to receive communion from, like, the hosts that I just consecrated. It's like, wow, they really think I'm a priest, you know? And it's just such a powerful thing. And, of course, it's Jesus at work. It's that power of holy orders, but just kind of your own experience of that. And so it's beautiful to grow into your priesthood, and I have so much more growing to do. While I certainly respect and reverence the priesthood lived out by religious priests like Franciscans or Dominicans and the particular mission and focus they have, I have to say, though, that the most fundamental and most important priesthood is the diocesan priesthood. That fundamental priesthood, working, you know, under a bishop in a certain territory that we call a diocese, with that special mission to accompany, to serve, to shepherd the people of God, the baptismal priesthood, to help them be the living stones of God's temple that they're meant to be, and that partnership with the people of God, with the body of Christ, you know, is really such a joy and really kind of the specialty of the diocesan priesthood. Cardinal Dolan in New York, he wrote a book about the priesthood, Priest of the Third Millennium, and the kind of the issue was, well, why be a diocesan priest? And I recall that there was this kind of infamous bank robber, Willie Sutton, back in the early 20th century, and he was interviewed at one point, and Mr. Sutton was asked, you know, well, why do you rob banks? And he's like, well, because that's where the money is, you know, and... Well, why be a diocesan priest? Because that's where the souls are, you know, of our parishioners, of this entire parish territory that we have a calling and responsibility towards. It's an incredible thing. Sometimes the priesthood can be arduous. It can be like the brothers at the Sea of Galilee, hauling in nets or mending nets and all the things, the stinky jobs and things like that. There's that reality in any vocation. But there are also such great adventures, powerful experiences, and just the deep meaning of our service and our mission that is so fulfilling. Just this last Wednesday, I had dinner with the two seminarians that serve at our parish, and just talking about life, the priesthood, and it was such a joy in recounting all that to them, just the reality of the gift given. And also every Saturday night with my priest association of diocesan priests, the Companions of Christ, we recount a grace from the week, and we're never at a loss for words about the graces of living out the priesthood. You know, I've only been a priest for 13 years. I think, Father Mark, 19 years? Yeah. And I have to say, though, I am just awed at those who have been priests for 40, 50, 60 years. Just what an incredible service, but work of God. To me, the best part is just experiencing and knowing Jesus' love working through me. And not just my own cramped and feeble heart, but how the Lord comes through me with his love. Holy orders, ordination, it's special ordering to Christ so that he can work, so that he can love through us. And that's why I think it's so beautiful how St. John Vianney, the patron priest, patron saint of diocesan priests, he described the priesthood as, it is the love of the heart of Jesus. I do have to give a reality check as well today, because it has to be admitted that in the Archdiocese of Denver, the numbers coming to the priesthood, the vocations here, it's pretty weak, despite all kinds of signs and reality of vibrance in the Archdiocese. Maybe that comes as a surprise, but the simple fact is that our own people, the Archdiocese, are not producing enough vocations. If you just think about light of the world, in my time here, who have been the priests here? So I've been here, and well, I'm from Wisconsin. I came here and entered seminary. Then you have our four parochial vicars. Only one of those four is from Denver. And so of the five priests that have been here over the last 7 years, only one of them actually comes from the Archdiocese of Denver. The Archdiocese of Denver really is constantly importing priests. We're very blessed to have them, but it has to import priests to cover our needs because our own diocese is really not raising up enough vocations here. Now, on one way, the shortage of priests can be an opportunity, kind of a way that kind of forces the other vocations of the church to really take a step forward more. You know, to live out what the Lord is really calling them to, and God can draw good from that. All vocations are certainly a blessing. They can be like different stars in a constellation around Christ, but it's not a zero-sum game. Those vocations don't come alive just because there aren't priests. We need ministerial priests as well. And the priest shortage is a genuine burden and hardship on the church here, and on her mission. It's also a real loss for the men who may have a calling, but never discern it or don't respond. Now, if you're waiting for married priests or women priests as a solution to that, I don't think that's it. You know, I'd have to give a whole nother homily about the theological depth of why Jesus chose to reserve the priesthood to men. And that's something that the church has taught and practiced from the beginning, from, yes, right there from the shore of Galilee until today. You know, and Pope Francis, he spoke about this recently in an interview, and he's upheld this. He can't change that. He recently noted, well, Lutherans ordain women, but still few people go to church. Their priests can marry, but despite that, they can't grow the number of ministers. The problem is cultural, the Pope says. We should not be naive and think that programmatic changes will bring us the solution. The reality is that in many places in the world, there are plentiful vocations to the priesthood, but not here, not in the West. And I think, as the Pope said, the West has a cultural and a faith problem. That's what has to be addressed. So the Denver Catholic, the Denver kind of magazine, monthly issue. In November, it had a whole issue about building a culture of vocations. And that's what we need to do. And that's where, especially kind of all of us, have a part to play in this. You know, first of all, for those men who are out there, who the priesthood might still be an option. You know, you're not in your terminal vocation, if we could put it that way. You know, your state of life already settled. Consider again those ingredients we heard from the gospel today and last Sunday. Coming to know Jesus in a deep and personal way. The self-discovery of like who I am and who Jesus says that I am. That encouragement of family and others around me, like Andrew in the gospel today with his brother Simon. And also, yes, yeah, the priesthood, there are renunciations to be made, but embracing that with confidence that God indeed wants me to be happy and nobody more than him. And then, yes, prayerfully considering a call to follow Jesus in this fulfilling and special way. It didn't really even occur to me to think about the priesthood when I was young. I didn't grow up playing priest or things like that. I was throwing rocks and Marines in the woods and getting into trouble. And, you know, it wasn't until later that it was even something that I was starting to resonate with. So nobody should say, well, I've never thought about the priesthood, therefore I won't. And then for all of us together, I propose two things. Pray, that is, and propose. Pray and propose. To pray for vocations to the priesthood. Father Anthony is going to help us start a vocation chalice program where kind of every 2 weeks a different household will take that chalice into their home and pray for vocations to the priesthood, and then we'll keep swapping that off. It'll be just a perpetual mission of praying as well, and that's what the Sarah Club has helped us to start that, and they also have another initiative where people can sign up for every day on this day of the month, I'll pray for vocations. Those are two great initiatives, but also to do this on our own, you know, and to have that prayer even within families and each one individually. And I would say, don't just pray in the abstract. Lord, give us vocations, you know, somewhere. Maybe they'll parachute in or they'll roll in on the Greyhound. No, pour out your prayers upon men and young men whom you see, those who you know, that if the Lord is calling them, they would be awakened to this beautiful call. And then along with pray, propose vocations to the priesthood. You know, now don't stalk guys, but do encourage, right? Have you ever thought about the priesthood? You know, have you thought about that beautiful life? Let it just be a common idea that growing up, it's something to consider. And pray that the Lord would anoint your speech to ask young men and also not so young men. Father Catani was a marvelous priest here at our parish, and he entered the priesthood much later in life, and he's still a gift to the archdiocese. Ask the Lord to anoint your speech, to invite those people by name to consider becoming priests. Do that, first of all, for your sake, right? For the priests that we need. Do it for the world's sake. Do it also for their sake as well, to invite them into the beauty, the adventure of the priesthood, the love of the heart of Jesus.